and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. This podcast is brought to you by Pearland EDC. Innovation lives here in Pearland, Texas. From pro-business resources and entrepreneur networks to an educated, diverse workforce, Pearland makes innovation happen. Connect with them at pearlandedc.com. Pearland, innovation lives here. My guest for today is Aisha McCracken, founder of Ignite Healthcare Network, an organization that accelerates female-founded businesses within healthcare. Aisha is a powerful connector who started Ignite to better connect women in the healthcare industry. Now she's accelerated around 100 startups and female founders, with an ongoing cohort that concludes with the pitch event on November 9th. She shares more about how she's grown Ignite and how she's evolving the platform to better address female founders' biggest challenges. Aisha, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Natalie. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. It's actually very long overdue, I think, because I've been following you and Ignite Healthcare Network for a while. I've covered what you're doing many times on Innovation Map. So it's long overdue to have you on. But for those unfamiliar with your background, can you share a little bit about your career in healthcare and how you got to where you are today?
Happy to. So I've been working in healthcare, focused in healthcare for the last many decades. As I've been telling folks, I've had sort of three chapters to my career. The first chapter began with working in consulting accounting firms, first for Arthur Andersen and then for Pricewaterhouse. So really a deep understanding of healthcare finance, business models, funds flows. And I was involved with large tax-exempt bond funding projects and loved working with hospitals, which was my primary focus at the time. And then I went to work for operating companies, as you might imagine, in finance roles is as CFO types of roles, as VP of finance types of roles. I was the first VP of finance for a company that was venture-backed and consolidating physician practices way back when. So then I began to really move from hospitals to the physician world, and then had an opportunity to build a company for Texas Children's called Texas Children's Pediatrics. And that led me to working inside health systems and was a change from the CFO role to actually a president, CEO operating role where I led companies for Texas Children's, Houston Methodist, and Memorial Hermann. All along the way, so that's chapter two of my career is inside the operating companies and really getting to understand more deeply, not just the financial aspects, but team building and business models and communication and running P&Ls fully. And so it was really very interesting time where healthcare was consolidating first horizontally in my career, and then later went to vertical consolidation. And throughout that process, while there were some things that were working incredibly well, there were some things that were really clunky, and we were very getting more and more involved with technology, more systems, more data being available. And so I got curious. I like the startup world. And I went back to business school and went to UT Austin and thinking about how you solve problems in other industries. What's a fresh approach to solving problems? And very interested in tech, which is what brought me to Austin. And so that sort of led to the chapter three of my career, which is where I am now, which is focusing on startups that enable the continued success and improvement of the industry. And there's so much possibilities with what technology will enable, whether it's in the way that data is being used, whether it's new technologies that are coming together with remote patient monitoring. There's just a a world of opportunity to improve healthcare, to make it better for those who work inside the industry, to make it better for patients who are getting care, to make it more cost effective. So that's where my consulting business, Innovate Health Ventures, began, where I work with CEOs and leadership teams of startup companies. And then the founding of Ignite Health, which also was a look back in my career to see how many amazing women there are in healthcare. And Ignite Health started with a party at my house with 67 invitations to women in C-suite roles across the industry, went out and 45 of them showed up in my house. And the energy was remarkable. And you realize throughout the course of my career, women really began working more, building careers, more advancing into leadership levels, more. There are more of us, but we still don't have the strength of networks that that men enjoy. And so that was the opening of Ignite Health in building relationships across the organizations and across groups of women leading organizations who cared about healthcare transformation and being able to elevate our voices in having the influence that we hope to have in the industry as it transforms at faster and faster levels. So that's where I am today. Chapter three is Ignite Health, our nonprofit, and Innovate Health Ventures, the consulting business I run.
Well, I think the subtext there, but I'll outright say it, is that you are a very powerful connector within healthcare and within, especially women working within healthcare at the leadership level and also at the startup level, which kind of makes you the perfect person to do something like Ignite to really connect those dots to the benefit of the institutions as well as the startups and patients and anyone involved with healthcare, which is anybody with a pulse, I would guess. So tell me about setting up Ignite. What was your original vision? How has it evolved over the years? And what was, you know, the reception like when you started telling people about what you were trying to do?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey because I never expected it to sort of take the shape and uncover the magnitude of the opportunity that's there. So it initially began as a networking, a way for women to build relationships with one another, to support each other's career journeys, and primarily focused in Houston. And that started in 2017 when we were a part of the Greater Houston Women's Chamber. And thanks to Susan Dyson and team, they sort of took us in. And we began to bring groups of women in Houston together, have panel discussions where women who had significant experience in spaces that were very sort of prominent issues of the day would speak, educate one another. And so that was the beginnings of Ignite. We ran a pitch competition for 2 years and realized that a pitch competition was not necessarily enough to attract the top talent in terms of innovators. And maybe that's not necessarily a fair statement. Companies that were far enough along, let's say that, because we did uncover some really interesting and capable entrepreneurs. Their companies were early on for the members of our network who were looking for innovative solutions. So we began, and to the point of being a connector, having worked in the industry for so many years, there are contacts all around the state, all around the country that I was able to reach out to. So in 2019, we incorporated Ignite as a separate nonprofit that focused in some ways in Houston in the sense that we had great Houston partners. The Texas Medical Center, the TMC was a significant partner, and we learned a lot through their efforts in building their accelerators, and they were a great partner to us in moving from a simple pitch competition to something that was more you know, a deeper program. So we called that a mini accelerator because what we did there was that women who were in our network or, you know, a part of our orbit, if you will, because we don't really have formal network. We have women who are in roles and get very involved in our various programs. And so they began to open their organizations for mentorship. And so that was 2019, where we went out looking for companies doing interesting work that were led by exceptional female entrepreneurs. And it's not enough that you're just a female running a company. We go through a selection process, and that selection process includes physicians, includes investors, it includes a whole host of industry experts. And by the way, those are not all women, because all women don't live on an island. We our programs are supported by some exceptionally talented guys. And we're fortunate to have VCs and hospital execs and the whole sort of continuum supporting the work that we do. So identifying exceptional leaders who are building great companies has been a part of our process since 2019. And then the mentorship program has been a big part of our program since 2019. Since then, we have continued to build onto that program. And now it is a full-fledged accelerator. And COVID allowed us to put together a hybrid program. So we now have friends all across the country and partners, large organizations, whether it's Banner Health, whether it's Texas Health Resources, Houston Methodist, Memorial Hermann, Texas Children's, Aetna. We have partners all across the city and all across the country who mentor and work with our startups. And then we have investors who also work with our startups. So what started simply at my home and then transitioned to the Greater Houston Women's Chamber has just unlocked this space where there is an untapped resource of innovators that are women. And so with a singular focus, we're able to discover women who are doing some really great work and then put them into this ecosystem that is, you know, healthcare focused and allow them to continue to grow and accelerate their company. So it started small, but we've unlocked something that has some incredible opportunities to make an improvement in health and well-being in healthcare industry, and also hopefully generate some wealth in terms of the kind of companies that people can now invest in that may not come through their typical investment channels.
As you've described, you've managed to kind of expand and grow Ignite incrementally over the years, but it almost seems like every year there's kind of a new boundary you're pushing. So tell me a little bit about 2023 and some of the things you are excited about for the program growing and expanding this year.
Yeah, the program has over 100 advisors, and I can't even tell you the number of companies that they represent because it's, you know, payers, Blue Cross, Aetna, Community Health Choice. There's a group of payers, there are medical device companies, there are venture capital firms, there are health systems. So we've been really, really fortunate to build a strong group of advisors who work in a variety of capacities. So the program now has a far more substantive mentorship program where we curate mentors for each of our founders, knowing that, you know, the founder's solution is relevant to, here's a potential customer, is an investor in this space, to really help us evaluate the quality and caliber of that company, the leadership team and so forth. We get assessments back, but more importantly, to help that founder really get direct advice from people who represent the voice of their potential customers and investors. So we have 18 founders doing great work, and we have them matched with 3 to 4 advisors that are helping to mentor them. And through that mentorship, they also give us assessments of how those, their thoughts around those companies, their how promising are they, is the leadership team, you know, able to bring that company forward. We get some really great information from the assessments. Then we have a virtual learning program. Then that's brand new this year. And we have two of those a week. And they include topics like how does design thinking, how should it be considered for entrepreneurs and in startups? And Aaron Hinkle, who is former IDEO and the current chief design officer for a very fast growing mental health company, gave a presentation. And the presentations are small, so that it's not just a webinar, that they are engaging. So there's a group of 10 to 12 founders, and there's a presenter, and the founders learn from the presenter, but the presenters ask for their specific problems. And so they have the ability to interact with one another, and they're very interactive programs. So they're not 100 people listening to a webinar. They're really very tailored to the needs of our founders, and the presenters are exceptional. So Aaron kicked us off. We have Roberta Schwartz, who is the chief innovation officer for Houston Methodist and the CEO for the main hospital, teamed with Wenji Mao, who's the senior executive VP for Texas Health Resources and chief operating officer. They're doing a session on how to approach health systems so that founders understand how health systems can be a partner in product market fit, achieving product market fit. We have Donna Peters, who is a known executive coach, talking about imposter syndrome. We have the partnership with the NIH Seed Fund. They're working with us, the U.S. Patents and Trades Office, working with us. So there's a whole host of really amazing virtual learning sessions available to this year's cohort. And then they pitch virtually and have sort of this semi-final round of pitches where they'll get to be, they'll interact with another set of a dozen judges and audience. And those scores plus the mentor scores help us to identify the top companies that we invite to Houston. And so those companies, usually about 8, come to Houston to pitch live, and they'll be pitching at Ion Houston this year. And we're really excited to see which of our 18 companies will be invited to Houston. We're going to do some flash mentoring in between. And so the program's got a lot of interactive. And as you would imagine, I'm a connector. I like connecting founders with incredible experts who can help them succeed. So that's sort of how the program will roll.
The mentorship is truly just such an important aspect of Ignite, and I think the healthcare industry. So it's really interesting to see the incredible people that you've been able to bring to the table. It's just invaluable resources for these founders. And my next question was to talk about the current cohort. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of the companies and some of the specific solutions they're coming up with and are commercializing or are hoping to commercialize. And then, yeah, share a little more details about the pitch competition and who should be in attendance and where and when they can attend.
So, if I can, I'm gonna tell you a little bit about this year's cohort. I'm gonna go back a little bit and give you history. So we've had 91 companies come through our program in the last 4 years, and those 91 companies have raised over $550 million. 70 to 75% of them are still raising and bringing their companies forward, which is really exciting. Those companies probably in terms of market value are somewhere in the $1.4 billion range, you know, cumulatively. So this year is our fifth year, and we have 18 companies and 19 founders. One of the company has two female co-founders that are both participating in our program. And interesting that, you know, we typically work with digital health and med device startups. This year, we have a therapeutics company from Fort Worth. We did something different this year, and we did a we had a pitch event partnered with Pegasus Park in Dallas, where we wanted to connect with the Dallas community. So and to be able to go looking for women doing great work in the Dallas-Fort Worth that region. And so Suchi Akaraya, who is a PhD, CEO, CSO of a company called Iuvis, was one of the companies that was, you know, top vote getter in the pitch competition in Dallas. So she will be with us in, she is with us in this cohort. And so as is Maureen Brown. Maureen is a CEO and co-founder of a company called Mosey Baby. She is from Austin. The company's Austin based. They have what is called an intrauterine device. So ability to do the fertility procedure that is currently done in doctor's offices called an IUI. And you can do this at home with her device. She's already, they're already selling it at some of the pharmacies, and it's really an ability to allow more people to have access to this type of fertility, you know, solution, infertility solution, and to bring the cost down from something that is a procedure in a hospital or in a doctor's office to something that you can do at home. So it's pretty, pretty interesting. We do have a number of women's health companies in this year's cohort. So another Texas founder is Summer Babarick. Summer is the CEO and co-founder of Hera Biotech, and her company is creating the first non-invasive test for endometriosis. Does not exist at this moment. And so they're doing some really great work and leading the pack in terms of developing a novel solution for women who suffer from endometriosis. We have got, I'm looking at the kind of variations, we've got a couple of companies that are around maternal health and postpartum care. Flourish Care is one, which is which provides doulas, so preparing for delivery and then aftercare. And they've got in the Northeast market already programs underway and looking to come into Texas with their programs. Similar kind of a solution with a company called Partum Health. And Partum has more comprehensive kind of set of services that work with women during their pregnancy and afterwards, and everything from nutrition, mental health, to doulas as well. So they've got some traction in Chicago area, and they're interested in coming into Texas. So just a whole assortment of interesting solutions. One more, Roshna Damija, got to say her name correctly here, CEO of Agenta, is a digital platform that was out of a technology that was developed at NASA. So it's really remote patient monitoring, but in a new and different kind of solution. So we're excited to be working with her and seeing where that may be a game changer in terms of the way that remote patient monitoring can occur. So very interesting companies that we have adding to. So we had 91, we're adding 18 more. So we're at 109 companies after this year's cohort of companies that have come through our program. We're thrilled to be able to work with these exceptional entrepreneurs doing some really great work.
And the cream of the crop after all the voting will be pitching at the Fire Pitch at the Ion this fall, right? Remind us when.
November 9th.
November 9th, gotcha.
November 9th, exactly.
I knew it was November, but I didn't want to mess up the date. So
yeah,
those interested should definitely go. It's such a fun event. They'll do a great job, and all of the companies really pitch their heart out.
They do.
Yeah, it's really great. Highly recommend it. But yeah, so let's talk about some of the challenges. Now, seeing 109 companies come through, female founders, what are the biggest challenges you see these companies facing? How are you addressing them? And are these challenges changing over the years, or do they tend to be maintaining?
There are certain things that maintain. Women always have gotten a fraction, 3% at most, and now sitting around 2% of the VC dollars. So, you know, that continues to be an ongoing challenge, and that's early stage money, right? So it gets to be more complicated as you go upstream and you're looking for Series A, Series B, and so forth to continue building your company. So that piece of the challenge, I think is one that is very real and kind of staying, if anything, it's impacted for all entrepreneurs, not just for women, in terms of the investing climate, right? So we've had some really difficult, some difficulties accessing capital for all companies at this point in the last year and a half. So, you know, that's a challenge, not just for women, but for all entrepreneurs looking to bring their ideas to market. So I'd say those are probably the two key things that we focus on, is helping companies build to a point of you know, being investable. And what I've realized, so this is year five, and thinking of year five and where does year, you know, year five, six, seven, where does that go? So I'll tell you, we're in the process of building our own platform that continues to connect our ecosystem so that we're not just an episode in the journey of an entrepreneur, but that we have the ability to help them along that path. That path is a roller coaster for a variety of reasons, whether it's, you know, reasons that happen to be gender related, or there are reasons that have to be market related than other situations. So if we help to put a community that can provide supports for companies that really have promise, our goal is over time to triple the amount of money that women entrepreneurs are getting. And I would say that I don't want to just triple that in the early stage. We really have to see it through, because success to me isn't just getting people an early stage investment. Success to me is getting companies that actually commercialize, that their products are coming out into the markets, that they're actually making an impact on health, well-being, patients, and so forth. So that platform that we're creating hopefully will be a way for us to help these companies provide resources, appropriate people, what have you, so that we can be a part of their journey, not just at the early days, but maybe from from early on to seeing them get their ideas out into the marketplace. And hopefully through that process, see them either get acquired at some point, have some type of an exit, so that what's good for the company and its ability to commercialize is also good for those that take the bet and invest in those companies' successes.
Yeah, I love that idea of this platform that keeps everyone connected throughout their various startup milestones, because it's so true. You know, an accelerator usually comes toward the beginning of a company's lifetime, and then you're kind of on your own after that, hopefully with the good building blocks in place. But it takes a village. I know that's a saying for raising children, but I think there's a lot of similarities between parenthood and starting a company. So that's really interesting to know about. And I think kind of brings me to my last question, which is this ecosystem that's in Houston for healthcare innovation. You're obviously someone who's very plugged into that in a lot of different ways, from sitting on boards to, you know, being involved as a mentor yourself. So tell me a little bit about why that's important to you personally, and also to growing Ignite in the way that you're doing.
I would say there are three things there at this stage in my career that are the motivation behind the work that I do. Probably the first piece is that anything we can do to continue making healthcare more accessible, improving, especially these days, the ability for the clinical teams, the physicians, the nurses, the teams that are working with patients, how do we improve their lives and make them better at the work that they're committed to doing, right? And how can we bring down the cost of care in a country that has so much but still struggles in terms of cost of care? So at the sort of highest level, having an impact in the healthcare industry and finding solutions is important to me. The second aspect of that is that there are so many women in healthcare, and yet you don't see them in leadership roles. You don't see them as CEOs of startups. You don't see them being able to take their ideas and have a broader impact than is possible, right? 80% of healthcare purchase decisions are made by women. 70% of the labor force is female. 54% of medical school students are now female. So there are a lot of women in this industry, and it's an untapped resource. So that the ability to elevate women's voices and the influence in shaping the future of healthcare is sort of my third driver, or my second driver. The third piece is I came to Houston in 1981 out of college working for Arthur Anderson, and the city has been a remarkable place for me and my husband, who came from Canada, and we've had incredible opportunities in a city that is welcoming, that is entrepreneurial, that is, if you work hard and you have opportunities in Houston. We had incredible opportunities in Houston. So, how does what we do through Ignite, what I can do through my work, influence the continued success of the city in some small way? And that's important to me personally, because the city's been a great place for me to work, raise a family, have a community of friends, and I'd like to be able to give back in some way.
I love that. I mean, and you are, you're directly interfacing with founders from all over, and introducing them to Houston when they come to the fire pitch, for instance, or they make those strategic mentor connections, potential customer connections with institutions within the Texas Medical Center. So I think just Ignite's original thesis is something that's going to plug them into Houston, which is great for the city. So very cool.
One last thing.
Yeah.
The last thing is, as a state, how do we elevate women's voices in this state and support women's success, female entrepreneurial success in a state like Texas? Because Texas is all about business, and business being, if you want to succeed, bring your business to Texas. And what we do at Ignite, there is no other organization that focuses in this niche. And we'd love for Texas to lead in terms of supporting women and women entrepreneurs, particularly in a space where there's so much in Texas in terms of resources like the Texas Medical Center or like what's happening in Dallas and San Antonio and other parts of the state that make healthcare a great spot for welcoming and promoting the success of female entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, I'm a Houston native, so I cheer on Houston, but I'm still a Texan, you know, and I recognize that we're more powerful together than apart. So that's a great message to end on. So thank you, Aisha, for joining me. People have to keep an eye out for the Fire Pitch competition later this year. And yeah, good luck. And thanks for sharing your story for Ignite. It's very fascinating to me. And it's great.
Absolute pleasure, Natalie. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition. And check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.